You're listening to the Nuff Said podcast, real strategies for customer success.
Hey everyone, this is Chris, co-founder of Nuff Said, and in our latest Voice of Customer series interview, we spoke with Chad at Customer about his three objectives for VOC, which are capture, analyze, and act. And some of the interesting highlights that we learned included: one, you got to tell the executive team what data you're going to be collecting and how it'll be used. Two, use VOC data to craft workarounds that don't include building new features. And three, use VOC data as your proof when advocating for changes in other teams and departments. So that's the TLDR. Let's jump in.
Hey, everyone. My name is Chad Hornfeld. I'm the head of customer success here at Customer with a K, which is now part of Meta. So Customer is a CRM support platform. Our products, they essentially just make it easier for companies to support their customers. And we do this through an omni-channel support platform. And some of our customers include Glossier, Ring, and Sweetgreen. And in terms of my role and kind of how it fits into our broader CX organization, just to give people some context. So our CX team is about 70 people, and there's three different teams. We have a support team, we have a professional services team, and then we have a customer success team. And so I head that customer success team, and I roll up into our head of sales and CX.
Awesome. Well, it's really great to have you join us today, Chad. We're continuing our series about Voice of Customer and learning a lot from leaders about how to implement VOC. Obviously, VOC is more than just sending out an NPS question once a quarter. So maybe we'll start by just defining, you know, what does VOC mean for you specifically, or if you want, what does it mean for customer?
Sure. And I wanted to say, like, first of all, I'm a big fan of the podcast and I listen to it and really appreciate you having me on here. So yeah, as people know, VOC is a very broad term. It's defined in many different ways. I'd say that, you know, really simply, like, voice of customer, it's capturing customer sentiment. So it could be about your product, it could be about your company, it could be about individual teams. It's really trying to understand the experience of your customers that they're having with your company. And it's also about how future customers perceive your company and the industry. This is really how I perceive it. For my purposes, like, we're still very new within the Metasphere, and we're looking at this really from ourselves here at Customer.
Okay, so I like that. So the framing is capturing customer sentiment. And obviously, there are probably lots of different ways that you would think about capturing those. Can you define what are the best ways to collect that feedback, and maybe some ways that you've collected feedback that maybe wouldn't be obvious to someone who's building it for the first time?
I think that what's key there is that you really just need to start. So you need to think about how you want to use data and what you want to use that data for. And one of the ways that I initially started here at Customer in terms of VOC was, one, I was getting it NPS turned on in app. So we actually were capturing NPS at one point, but we had stopped capturing that. And it's something that was owned by our product team. So just look for those easy ways that you can start to get some of that VOC information. So NPS is definitely, you know, one of those areas, and lots of different views on NPS. But I would say that, you know, it is a data point, and the trending is really important as well. So we started there. And I think what was important there is that there was some sort of hesitancy to get some of the VOC data. So once we started with that, I was like, okay, well, it's interesting data. Let's see what else we can do. So the next thing that we did, which I think was really important and something that we still do, is we do a biannual voice of customer survey. So we ask about 10 to 15 questions. They're very standard type questions. And this is something that I was like, well, we're not doing this. We really need to do this. And as many CS leaders know, that, you know, the only way that you can change things is through data. And what's nice about voice of customer is that hopefully you're getting ahead of the trends rather than being behind them. And so, you know, by putting together these 10 to 15 questions, I worked through our marketing team because they had some really good surveying tools. I made sure that I got product team involved because I wanted them to be part of what questions were asked, so I'd get their buy-in, because what's important is not just capturing the information, but what you do with that information. So, you know, this, you think about the different parts of VOC. There's capturing the information, there's analyzing the information, and then there's acting on the information. And so, you know, with this particular survey, I made sure that product, you know, had say in what those questions were. And we asked questions like, you know, what can we do to make it easier for you? We'd ask questions like an NPS question. We actually evaluated all the different parts of our business. So from implementation to customer success, to training, support, billing, all those different areas. And it was very interesting, you know, now that we've been doing this for a couple of years, to see kind of where the data has moved us. And I would say that just with that particular survey, the first time that we did it, we noticed that there was areas in the product that we really needed to take a closer look at. And in fact, when we did it the first time, this survey was able to change the strategy of the company. We actually doubled down on a particular area and looked to improve it. And so, you know, and I think the reason why we was able to do that is that product liked to see not only the areas that stood out where we need to improve, but it also demonstrated things like product reliability, product features. So customers would give scores on those areas. And then the last question that I threw in there was, if you could say something to the CEO, what would you tell them? And I thought that was a good one too. People tended to open up a bit more. So that was, you know, talking about kind of where we started and then how we continued it. We started to add surveys at the post-implementation. So that was another area. You know, we had CSAT as part of our support team, which is built in the customer platform. And I think that as we built these things, then we then realized that the bigger problem was analyzing the data. How do you bring that together so that you can start to provide those trends? And I started to partner with our support team to pull those things together. And then what we found, and actually I'm presenting on this week, our executive team is looking at the voice of customer data from the survey, as well as the support data that not only comes from CSAT, but also from just the support data itself. You can, depending on how you tag your, what we call conversations or tickets, depending on how you tag that, you can glean a lot of data from where your customers are having challenges. And then that in turn, you know, where your support team is brought in. So just from those different sources, customers telling you information, you know, we use Gong to record our calls. So there's another source that we get VOC data from. So lots of different areas that we can collect that information and bring it together.
That's great. And Chad, you said a couple of things that I want to go a little bit deeper on. The first thing that you said was there was some hesitancy to collect customer sentiment data. I imagine lots of leaders run into this. Can you talk a little bit more about what that meant and how you overcame that hesitance?
Yeah, I think that from a product perspective, there's so many inputs that product teams have. It's easy in many ways for customer success teams to get on the product team because there's all these features that we want. And it's like, well, why can't you build these things? But it's like every team, like, you know, customer success teams, they obviously never have enough resources that they need. Product team and engineering teams are very similar. And I think from a product perspective, we were, you know, a young company, we still are a very young company that we were trying to grow. And we have, you know, a very set roadmap. These are things that we need to do. And so the more things that are coming in, sometimes it can be noise, you know, for some people that can distract teams from focusing on what they need to focus on. So there was kind of a fear as to what that information might be. And I don't know if it's a fear, but it's like, we've got enough stuff to do. We're going to focus on that. And that's kind of as part of what I was coming to the company for, was to help build up our customer success team. And, you know, even as part of our mission, we see ourselves as the champions of our customers and really trying to make sure that that voice gets heard throughout the organization. And I think it's just a matter of, this data is data, and this can be used for multiple purposes. It can be used to justify things that we're focusing on, and it can be used as ways to look to find those, you know, those blind spots that we may not be aware of in areas that we need to focus on.
Yeah, so I can empathize with a product management team. You know, they've got feedback coming from sales and customer success and support bugs from support, and they've got the engineering team asking to pay down technical debt, and the CEO has their pet project, and they've got customers voting on stuff. So you coming to them and saying, look, there's another kind of data that we want you to bring in your decision-making, I can understand why they'd be hesitant. What was your talk track to get them over that hump? Because it feels to me like they would still want to push back on getting even more data.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is that our product team, you know, whenever we would bring things forward, they'd always say, well, bring me the data. And so I'm like, okay, well, I need to create data. And the only other data points that I can bring, I didn't have a CS platform at the time. It was very difficult to get adoption data. And so beyond that, you have churn data. And I always like to say, you know, when you churn, you learn, but that's already, you know, at the point of no return. Like, you know, that's the trailing data. We don't want that. We want to get ahead of that. And so, you know, I said, like, I need to get this data, and I think it will help all of us. And it's just getting that buy-in. And, you know, once we brought it forward, it was more like no one's really said, oh, we should start to do that. And what the interesting thing was, is that once we started to turn, you know, some of these knobs and started collecting some of this data, interesting things happen. So now what our product team does is, for every feature, like larger feature that they roll out, or areas that we may feel that we want to get some more sentiment on, they turn on NPS for a specific area of the product. And then we can actually track, when we roll out those features, how that's improved the sentiment. So I think that when we started to get that data, it started to, you know, kind of open eyes, like, oh, this is really interesting. You know, similar thing, you know, with the professional services team. So, you know, we used our CS platform to start capturing post-implementation survey data. And, you know, there was some hesitancy. It's like, oh, well, we should send the survey out at the perfect time and ask the perfect person and maybe like accept if the survey should go. I was like, no. We're sending the survey out at this time to everyone. And whatever gets responded to. Like, we have to learn. And once you get past the fear, because at the end result there was that our survey scores for implementation team were phenomenal. And then that became a key metric that they hold up and they celebrate around. And so that's the thing. It's like, people always have that fear of what the data will bring, but it's typically the opposite. The data is going to show just how much impact that you've had, and you haven't had other ways of showing that and celebrating around.
That's actually a great transition to the other thing that you brought up that I thought was interesting and we should drill a little bit deeper on, which is, you said that when you're first setting up your VOC program, you have to define what data you want to collect, but maybe more importantly, how will it be used? So for example, in the case of your services team, seeing that services were a highlight allowed you as a company to maybe in the sales process or the customer success process, highlight that as a strength of the company. So what are some example statements of how data will be used to help justify to the executive team why this data is so important?
It's interesting. Like at some point, like I didn't really know when I first started out, like I was like, I know that I need data. I know that there are problems. I'm hearing these things. And so, and at the time I had just set up a monthly executive meeting where I talk about client health and trends. And so I started putting these things in place and I wanted those meetings to be more effective. And so my hypothesis was that, you know, if I start to collect this data, I can leverage this data to have better meetings to make customer success have more of an impact and more of a voice. So that was really what I started with. What I didn't anticipate and didn't, you know, realize is that it's like, wow, this data, what it was showing and how it would be used at the executive level, that was, it just kind of transformed and kind of went on its own. And I think that knowing that our company is a data-driven company, that I kind of had that hypothesis. And on the implementation side, what I really wanted to get ahead of there was I wanted to have my goal there was to get a better sense of clients that may have problems coming out of implementation so that we can get a better handle on those and perhaps service them differently. And, you know, knew that we did a good job there, but I was trying to, you know, cover my blind spots. And that's kind of one of the things that the hypothesis there was to putting that survey together. And then it just morphed into something else. So that's the other thing too, is that VOC, once you start it, you know, it then transforms into different things and you're able to get more resources based on the results that you're able to show and prove things that you didn't even realize that are there.
It sounds like what the pitch to the executive team is like, look, I am the champion for our customers. It's my job to arm each of you on the executive team and across the company with customer data to help us make the best possible decisions based on the actual experience we're delivering to customers. Without that data, I can't help arm you with what customers are actually saying about their experience. Is that accurate?
That's accurate. And it was almost on the flipping it around. It's like, I'm not going to do anything that you want unless you bring data to me and show me these are the areas that I need to focus on. And the other thing is that, you know, you're the head of CS. You should know all the trends of your customers. And I need you to bring those trends to me. And so you can guide me as to where I should focus. Because a lot of the times, you know, we focus on very specific things that specific customers want, which is helpful. And if the customer is large enough, you know, we need to drill into that. But really, like, I think what product teams are trying to understand is, what are the things that I'm going to do that's going to have the biggest impact? What's going to give us the biggest bang for the buck in terms of our resources? And so, you know, that's kind of the hypothesis that I went on and based on kind of what guidance that I was provided to me, but it's very similar to what you were saying.
Yeah. And I think when done well, the customer success team is a product market fit machine for their organization. They can scan the whole customer journey and experience and help to identify challenges based on customer reported findings. And one of the things that I think customer success leaders don't emphasize enough is that when a customer churns, it's almost never because of a poorly run customer success department. It's because there's problems with the product, missing features, the product isn't very reliable, the sales team acquired the wrong ICP, the customer isn't mature enough to adopt the product, there are problems with pricing. So it's all these competition, all these things that are outside of the control of the customer success team. So one of the most valuable things that the customer success leader can do is arm everyone else with those insights so that the things that actually do lead to churn, the biggest indicators of churn, the success leader is prioritizing and then driving those changes for the org.
Yeah. And the other thing to keep in mind is that, and this is kind of the conversations that I have with our product leaders, is that when I'm presenting this data, I always give them a heads up. I want to let them know, here's what's coming and here's where it's coming from. So where it's coming from is that it's my job, just like you said, to present that data. It's our job as a company to determine how we go about, you know, correcting this or addressing it. And I think that's another thing for CS leaders is that the solution is not always fix the product. Like we should be looking at it more holistically. And so one of the things, like for example, what I'm doing, you know, tomorrow is I'm bringing forward data and I'm bringing forward the problem. And then I'm looking, you know, cross-functionally, like how do we improve this? Do we change our education course offering? Do we do additional webinars to help our customers better understand product releases that are coming out? Do we work with our sales teams in terms of how they might position things in the sales process? And so I think if you do it and focus that way, where it's not just, well, here's something that is a gap, we need to fill that gap. It's here's the problem. And either we're going to address it with a product fix now, or maybe we're going to do it later, but maybe we have to kind of fill that gap for now. And what's a way that we can fill that for now until, let's say, other areas are addressed. So that's something that's, I think, important, you know, for CS leaders too. It's not a be all and end all with product. There's give and take there. And that's kind of how you, I would say, form those relationships and drive the business forward as a whole.
Yeah. Two great tips. One, give your fellow executive an early warning system of what they're about to hear so they don't get defensive. And two, don't blame the product for everything. Look for other workarounds when there's a problem that's come up that might initially seem like it's product related, but there are other solutions to it besides throwing more engineers at it. All right. So Chad, we're collecting all this data from different sources. Things seem like they're humming along well. How do we know? How do we report back to the executive team that this program is working?
Yeah. So some of the things that we've done where we've seen a benefit is, you know, going back to that one example where I provided where we use that data, it kind of helped to shift the strategy of the product. We made improvements and then we were tracking NPS within the product, like using in-app messaging, and we could see the NPS improvement. So that was really interesting to see. And then we also, because we keep the questions for the VOC survey to be standardized questions, then we can then see what are those things that the customers say that they like the most. So we have open-ended questions. And then what we do is we go through those open-ended questions and we pull out certain items. And then we measure those to see what are the favorable things that they're saying versus, you know, the areas that we need to work on. And from the favorable, you know, does that percentage increase from those who respond to the survey? So those are some, you know, obvious things. Some other areas, like I think I mentioned in the VOC survey, we ask people to rate the different areas of our business. And so, you know, one of those areas, let's say, you know, education. So education was a newer part. We started this customer university and we didn't have it at one point. And then we did have it. And so we obviously saw that score, you know, pick up. You know, support was another area that we really invested in. And we saw like a really massive growth in terms of improvement there. We've got a really great support leader. So all these things, you know, those are ways that you can track the trends and see how those change over time. Those are things that I recommend. And hopefully, you know, those input metrics from the survey, like the output metrics are things like your retention rate, your net dollar retention rate. Like those are things that you look at. Hopefully those things are improving as well. And they should, if you're doing all the right things to listen and act on what your customer feedback is.
Seems like there's probably also an element of the team believing that it's working. So there has to be some aha or value, kind of value moments of VOC for each executive on the team. I don't know if you believe in that or not, but it seems like that would have to be the case, because a lot of the things like watching NPS increase over time, that could take 4 quarters or more. And, you know, showing improvements in net retention rate will take at least a year. So is that fair to say that there have to be kind of like these value moments for the executive team as well?
There are. I would say that it's harder. Like, you know, executives are mostly looking at those output metrics. And so I think that those smaller wins are things that you almost have to look at internally and look and trying to pull out some of those key nuggets. The other thing that you can do is you can look at your support tickets or support conversations that we call them, and see, for example, you know, if there's areas that were mentioned in the Voice of Customer survey, are you still seeing those issues come up in those support tickets and those support conversations? So, you know, as an example, like we had an issue that we saw consistently, and it was verified both in Voice of Customer survey and in our customer conversations. We addressed that issue. We saw a reduction in the amount of volume in those conversations. And we heard from kind of various sources through calls, et cetera, that our customers seem to be happier. And so, you know, what we try and do is if there are things that are pointed out in our survey, then we try and look for pluses that come out, let's say through Gong recorded calls or just through, you know, customer conversations, and highlight those and say, hey, like this customer had this, you know, particular thing to say. They were really happy. They like this feature that we just rolled out. So those are some things that we can do to kind of, you know, show that we're making improvements and in incremental improvements to the business.
I love that. And just in case the audience missed it, I love that you don't call them support tickets. You call them support conversations. It sounds much more human and easier to engage with. So that's, I love that. All right. Controversial question. Who should own the VOC program? Which executive on the executive team?
Yeah, it's a good question. I would say that if you're a new business, you know, just starting out, younger in terms of just getting things off the ground, I don't think it matters too much as long as you start to do that. I think that, you know, as the business matures, you know, I've seen it owned in marketing, seen it owned in customer success, products, you know, might own it. I mean, from my perspective, I would say that customer success should probably own it, but it's just a matter of, do they have the resources? I think that one of the biggest challenges I think I mentioned is it's not just collecting the information, it's analyzing the information. And so if the customer success organization has access to analysts, maybe there's a CS ops that's tied into the organization, or maybe they have access to RevOps, then that is, you know, a benefit. If your marketing organization has those resources or has the money to, you know, I didn't even outsource and do that analysis, that's great. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, do you have the resources? Are you able to really own it? Are you able to amalgamate all that information and pull it together? I think, though, from my perspective, it kind of naturally fits in the customer success, customer experience organization. But again, I would, at the early stages, it doesn't matter as long as you're doing it and you have that data so you can use it.
Let's talk more about that. So you feel like it's probably best in customer success. What are the factors you're using to arrive at customer success as the best place?
Yeah, I think that one is similar to how I use the data to drive certain initiatives. You know, customer success, it's harder, kind of like we've talked about, like retention. You know, you can sign a client and they don't, you don't have that renewal, like for, let's say, a year or more down the road, like, you know, especially if there's multi-year renewal. So you really need those various data points to drive your business forward. You know, one of the things that I do with this VOC survey is I just harangue my team to send out individual invites to the survey, even though we send out blasts from all sorts of different channels. You know, I really, you know, push them hard. I was like, listen, the more results we get, the more data I can use to justify certain spend or, you know, justify certain things that we need, you know, whether it's technology. So I think customer success can really be the biggest benefactor of the data. The challenge is just, as I mentioned, just kind of executing it. So, you know, that's why marketing usually has the tools. They, you know, the customer marketing may be the person that helps to, you know, send out the survey. You know, they may have money to provide incentives to, you know, for people to respond to the survey. And then products is another kind of area that likes to collect that data as well. But I definitely, between those three different groups, it logically sits more within customer success. I think, again, you know, if it's a manager that's trying to run it, it can just be difficult unless they have, you know, some supporting operations to get it off the ground and orchestrate getting everything sent out.
Okay, nice. And I think that's a good transition to our next question, which is, you talked about collecting the data, you talked about analyzing the data. How do you create accountability around the data getting acted upon after it's been analyzed?
Yeah, so it's a good question. I think that you need to make sure that you're, you know, just the same amount of time that you spend to get it off the ground. And I think that that's, you know, primarily what's going to help on the communication side. Once you have the results, like if you've got that buy-in from the various different, you know, functions like product, you know, marketing, et cetera, the communication part becomes much easier because they were helping you to create the questions. And actually, one thing I didn't mention is that what we do is we open up a few questions that products can adjust. So let's say there's a particular feature they want to learn more about. You know, they have the ability to ask, you know, a few different questions. And so again, like that buy-in that you have, they want to see that results and they want to share that results and celebrate those results together. So if you do that work up front, the communication side, what we've done is we've shared the results to the entire company. So in terms of doing that in an all hands meeting, and I think that, you know, it's one of the benefits of our company, like one of the strong points is that, you know, we want to be transparent. Like it's not just rah, 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 like we're doing all these great things. Like here's some areas that we need to focus on. And, you know, that's just a testament to the company and how we use that data. And then I've kind of dug in further just to make sure that, you know, we're really using that data and acting on it. And so I'll drill in a little bit more. And now we've actually have a UX team. So they're doing some further analysis. So I'll partner with them. And then I'll look in our Jira and see, you know, what are the items that we already have slated? I'll meet with our product team to see what's, you know, coming on the roadmap, what's not on the roadmap. So it's doing a lot of that legwork to, you know, make sure that we have that data, we're using that data effectively, we're making improvements, or we're not. I mean, that's the other thing too, is, you know, there are times that we're just not going to like make certain features or build certain features. And one of the other things that we do as part of these types of VOC initiatives is that we make sure that we respond to our customers and thank them for the feedback and ask them to have additional conversations so we can learn more. And again, like we want to be upfront with them and say, listen, this is a great idea. We're not going to do this now. We might do this in the future. And we have ways of collecting additional feedback. Like we use something called Canny to, you know, allow customers to submit features and they can vote on features. That's another source of VOC data I didn't even talk about. You know, we're launching a community soon. So that will be another source that we'll collect, you know, more information from. But the key thing is getting those buy-in early and then creating certain communication channels to share that information.
Awesome. Okay. So last question. When you look at VOC in the next 5 years, what's likely to change about how we're doing VOC?
Yeah, I think the change is already starting. I think that it's going to be less survey focused and more on using AI and machine learning to pull out that sentiment. Because, you know, I think that we all know that surveys are great, but first of all, we're all inundated with them. We don't want to fill them out. And I'm very careful. Like we don't send too many surveys. We don't want to have this culture where the customer's like, oh, I got your survey, you know, last week and then I got it like yesterday. And I think that there's just a lot of great data from your support data from your calls, data from your email interactions, where you can pull that out and leverage that. And that gives you leading indicators that you need to act on. So I think that we're getting there. I think that we're not there just yet, but that will be, I'd say, where things will change the most. And the other thing is that once, not only will we get that data, we'll be able to respond to that data and provide a better overall experience because we'll be able to analyze it faster and make changes faster.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to that world too, where AI does all the work for us. And we just click a button and we get results. So, all right. Well, Chad, thanks so much for joining us today. On behalf of the community, you invest your personal time to help us learn from your experience. And I'm just so thankful for that. So really appreciate you joining us, sharing all of your examples of how you use VOC, how you think about VOC, and helping us learn from your experience. So very thankful to you, and thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me on.
And that's it for this week's episode of NuffSed. To learn more about NuffSed's proactive intelligence platform, you can visit NuffSed.com. That's NuffSaid.com. And you can follow NuffSed on LinkedIn. To tune in to more real customer success strategies, head over to your podcast platform of choice and make sure you're subscribed. Thanks for tuning in. NuffSed.